Damian Locker with you here on the Green Zone. He is back. Milt Stegall is on the panel tonight as the TSN pregame show is underway. As he has returned to the panel, it's his first show of the year. As he has been mourning the loss of his son in his early 20s, Chase died. And apparently they're still awaiting the autopsy results of the cause of that young man's death. But Milt Stegall and his wife and his younger son have been mourning that loss. But it was time for Milt, as he said, to get back at it and join his TSN family and CFL family once again. So he's on the panel all weekend long. His first game tonight, he'll be in Winnipeg tomorrow for Friday night football.
He'll probably do something, obviously, with his connection there.
Well, Winnipeg, that's going to be an emotional night, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow in
Good to see him back. It really is. And
everybody knows how I feel about Milt. As much as Rider fans are like, oh, he scored so many touchdowns against us, he's the best panelist they have, hands down. Always has been. Calls it as he sees it, not shy of his opinion. And he's happy. He's bright. He's personable. He is what you want as a panelist. That is the guy you want. And it's great to have him back on the CFL panel with TSN. Also, of course, one of my favorites at TSN is our very own Dave Naylor as the best insider in the game. And we chat before Sean Lemon chatted, because Dave's working on the show tonight on CFL on TSN. So we did chat with Dave earlier before the Sean Lemon signing, but also about maybe his surprise it took this long to have Sean Lemon reinstated in the Canadian Football League, but also maybe a bit surprised that career is going to continue.
Like, I thought it was going to be forced retirement, right, when they suspended him for a year. It was like, okay, that's it, right, because he was just shy of his 36th birthday. And, look, I think a lot of times with discipline, and this came up in the Chad Kelly thing as well, people have what they want it to be, right, and say the league should do this, or the league should do that, or they do this. But ultimately, I think the league has to follow precedents, even when there are precedents that aren't in the CFL. You can use precedents in other leagues. And so I'm not sure there was a basis for a lifetime ban of Sean Lemon, you know, given two factors. And because notwithstanding the fact you said he bet on a game that he played in, which, you know, his first time around a year ago was, well, no one told me I couldn't do that. Well, I guess, you know, no one told you to stop at the red light, you know, either, right? But we all know what's right and wrong when it comes to that. That was his take. In this case, I understand that's not been the case. But I think the fact that, notwithstanding the fact he bet on a game which he played, he bet on his team, which I do think makes a difference, right? And not that we should, like, say that's okay, but I do think that's a different, quote-unquote, crime than betting.
Yeah, but 100% it is. Dave, do we know if he bet the over or the under? Like, that could be important.
I think he bet the points. If I remember, it was one ticket. If I remember correctly, it was a parlay. I think, like a Hamilton-Calgary parlay.
And I think the parlays are points, aren't they? I know nothing about gambling. People are just going to light me up.
It was an offshore. The weird thing, it was an offshore. Like, and I've had people in the CFL call me and say, how did the league ever find that? Because it wasn't like it was at FanDuel, where, you know, you've got a registered, licensed league partner, kind of, certainly TSN partner, sportsbook. It was an offshore. And the reason people wanted to ask me is because they want to kind of scare other players straight, going, look, don't try this. Even in an offshore, the league found it. And here's how they do it. Well, we don't know how they did it, but somehow they did it. Anyway, he bet on his team, and they would say with points, I believe. And the other part of it was a relatively small amount of money. Like, if he put 10 grand on the game, then I think, again, we're having a different conversation. I can't remember what the amount was. It was actually in euros, I believe, because it was in an offshore. But it was something like $100. On a parlay ticket.
Yeah, it was 40 euros or something. I don't know why that.
Yeah, which would basically be $100.
Which is $100, yeah.
So, you know, I think where it comes down to is, you know, are you black and white on this kind of thing? Or are there degrees of this? And I think, you know, the way punishment has been handed out in other leagues, as this has become an issue in the last 10 years, is It represents there are different degrees that you probably can't make a suspension stand up where you just say, no, we're done. We're done with you, because that's probably going to get overturned, because arbitrators are going to look at it and say, well, let's see how other leagues handle situations like this. And generally, it doesn't result in a ban for life.
Let's move on to Trey Ford. An interesting conversation there, just based on what's happening in Edmonton. They've got the bye week. Their first game back is going to be in Regina at Mosaic Stadium, and
we want Fajardo.
Well, that's part of what makes this whole conversation very interesting. Do you think that that Killam puts him in?
I think there's a chance. And I think the bye week was always the logical time where they were going to do an evaluation. And look, I think this conversation shifted after last week. I mean, that was a terrible performance by Trey Ford. It was not. Yes, and every week, I think you could make the argument that he had progress. And from what I understood, the standard that the Elks were holding him to in order to, keep his job was you just got to show improvement. Like, we're with you playing the long game. You just got to show improvement week after week. And I think he had, until this past week, and it was a significant step back. And the other part of this starts to become, like, it's great to say you're going to stick with a guy, but, like, they got one win, and this is year whatever in rebuilding, and this is new ownership. And I did a dropping back with Dave on this about 3 weeks ago, just about the yin-yang of how you manage this decision. Because ultimately, the question becomes, can the Elks afford to waste a season, or not waste a season, but burn a season on the development of Trey Ford? And then the question is going to be, do they believe, and this is what every football coach and GM's responsibility is, pretty much week to week, is who gives us the best chance to win? Is it Trey Ford or is it Cody Fajardo? And, Farhan reported this in our conversation yesterday, that had training camp been a competition, it probably would have been Cody Fajardo who would have won the job. But it wasn't a competition, right? It was like, we're committed to Trey Ford. He's our guy. We're going into the season with him. Even though it would have been interesting in week two when they played Montreal, if they decided to play Fajardo, because, of course, he practiced against that defense and that defensive coordinator for 2 years. And it's basically the same personnel. There would have been an argument there. Dwayne Ford mentioned that on our broadcast. I thought that's kind of interesting. But they got to win. And, I think the variance, it's not that Trey Ford can't play well. He can. It's not that Trey Ford can't make great plays. He can. But what drives coaches nuts is the variance. It's kind of like having a young pitcher that you throw out and he, throws a three hitter over eight innings, and the next week he gets shelled after two and a third and gives up eight. And you just don't know what you've got, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly kind of what Trey has been. It's the variance, not the lack of talent or skill that kind of gets people going crazy. So I do think there's a conversation there. And I'm not suggesting they've made a decision or that they're forcing themselves to make a decision, but I think both sides of the ball, by the way, in Edmonton, are getting a full evaluation. Obviously, when you're talking offense, the quarterback is going to be the focus. But there's a defensive coordinator conversation going on. Like, remember the offseason, guys? We talked about it. Holy smokes. Like, writing checks, defensive line all over the field. Royce Metchie and Jake Ceresna and Robbie Smith and, like, more Brinkman. All
Terrell Ford.
All of this. They have given up the most points per game, the most yards per game, and the most passing yards per game in the CFL this season. Now, the whole idea was, look, let's keep these games close so that Trey Ford, who, as he's developing, doesn't feel like he's got to chase the score in order to win. Well, that hasn't worked out. So I think there's some, hard questions being asked in Edmonton on both sides of the ball during this bye week.
Dave Naylor, our CFL analyst here on the Green Zone. Dave has been doing work on finding out where all these players in our league come from, Dave.
This is a really cool project.
You can see the whole project. It's at tsn.ca. It just got published today. They'll have it on the panel tonight and talk about it. What were your most, do you have a top three most interesting findings on this list for people to go dig into?
Yeah, to kind of explain the premise a little more, it was just like we had players all the time and where they went to school and who they played with. And I just thought, what if we did a big picture evaluation of where do these guys come from? Who are the players that are in the Canadian Football League? And especially, as we've watched now, it feels to me like we're seeing more Division II, FCS guys, fewer guys from the Alabamas and the Notre Dames of the world, maybe because of NIL and stuff like that. But I was actually surprised to find out that, the vast majority, about 68%, I believe, I've got the numbers right in front of me here, of CFL players, Americans, that is, I'm talking about, come out of the power conferences. You know, the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC. In fact, the ACC is the number one conference in all of college football. 31 CFL players this year played in the ACC, you know, which is, you know, Clemson and North Carolina and those schools. So as much as we made, and again, I don't know the trend because we've never done this before. It'll be fun to follow it in years future, is just seeing that, you know, does that number change?
So you get also the comparables.
Yeah, comparables. Also looking, you know, we see so many Canadians come through the NCAA. I was curious, what percentage of Canadians in the league come through the NCAA and what percentage come from U-Sport? It's almost two-thirds U-Sport, but one-third of guys who are Canadians come through the NCAA. And that's about what I would have guessed that would have been. Looking at the U-Sport story, you know, it was funny because I wanted to figure out, okay, what schools in Canada produce the most CFL players? And there were some schools I expected to pop up like in the top five or so that didn't. Western, not in the top five. McMaster, not in the top five. Manitoba, not in the top five. Those are three schools that I would say over the last 20, 25 years produced a lot of CFL players, but right now they're not even in the top five. The number one school in Canada for producing CFL talent, I know it's based on opening week rosters, is the University of Montreal, which did not exist 25 years ago to have a football program. The number two school is a tie between Laval and Guelph. Montreal had 14 guys in opening week rosters. Guelph and Laval had 12 each. So when you put Laval and Montreal together, and you figure that Laval's program is just under 30 years old, Montreal's program is 25, I mean, you really do get a shot of how the most significant development in player development in this country in the last quarter century has been the rise of those Francophone programs, because they are one and tied for two in the country in producing CFL talent. University of Montreal had 14 players. We will be showing on television tonight the Fait en Canada or Made in Canada award. We got it done in both languages because we got a Francophone school as our first winner, and we got a little football designed up. I got some help with the league on that. We'll show it on television. Then we're going to mail it out to the University of Montreal so they can put it in their trophy case, and we're going to do this annually, as we say, TSN's Made in Canada Award. So it was a real fun project to go through and just kind of, you know, get a sense of where guys are coming from, and as I say, just a more of a big school presence in the CFL than I might have guessed. I thought it was declining, you know, more to the FCS. I mean, Division II, there's only 18 Division II players in the entire league. There's only six in Division III. There's one NAI player. So you look at the entire, all of the Americans in the CFL, you're talking about 25 players that didn't at least play FCS Division I. So everyone else is Division I except for 25 Americans in the league. So it's really not as much of a small school league as maybe some of the people were perceiving.
It was a huge process for Dave Naylor. They're showing off the ball now on the pregame show.
Just the active players?
Yeah, the guys on the opening night rosters, like the week one rosters.
Okay.
He went through. Saskatchewan, Regina represented 8 and 9, respectively, for the Huskies and the Rams. And when you talk about CJFL players that have made the jump, Logan Ferland, there's only 2.2% of the players from the CJFL, only 5 that have made that. And one of those is a starting center for the Rough Riders in Logan Ferland and the Regina Thunder. More to come here on the Green Zone, including Milt's return to the CFL on TSN. And your thoughts, and there are plenty of them, on Sean Lemon's return to the Canadian Football League. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the year in the Green Zone. Our game of the night, it's going to be the Thursday night of the Montreal Alouettes taking on the Toronto Argonauts as
Arbuckle.
Yes, he is still starting for the Toronto Argonauts because Chad Kelly just not ready to go. Matthew Schnetti was reporting before kickoff that Chad Kelly feels ready, but the team doesn't feel he's got that strength all the way back in his broken leg from the East Final. We updated you earlier, Saskatchewan, on that team from Regina / Moose Jaw that's representing Canada at the NFL Flag Football World Championships in Canton, Ohio, the home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the home of football in America. So earlier they beat Germany 28-0. Their second game is a final against Great Britain. It was another 28-point win, this time 34-6 for the the team from Regina / Moose Jaw, representing Canada at the NFL Flag Football World Championship. So a great start. They beat Germany. They beat Great Britain. Tomorrow they play Puerto Rico and Mexico at the World Championships. And if you do remember,
do they have a Twitter account, you know?
I don't know if they're keeping it up to date on
up
Twitter.
Up to date on Twitter?
But I'll tell you what, just a reminder, I'm familiar with how in the cheer world it happens like this at World Championships, because there is a huge cheer community in the United States. They actually take all the American teams and they compete against each other. So there's a U.S. division, and then they take all the international teams, and there's like 52 teams, and they compete against each other. So that's what's going on here. All the U.S. leagues are playing each other, and then all the international leagues are playing each other. It's the international side that Canada's on.
But doesn't the international side end up competing against an American squad?
I don't think. At the end? I don't think so. I think they have like an American national team.
Now, we don't want to.
Here's the thing. We don't want to embarrass them and have Pat McAfee lose his mind again. We don't need to hurt their feelings a second time this year in flag football. We've already got it once earlier when Paul LaPolice went down there with the men's crew and beat him, and Pat McAfee lost his mind. Wasn't laughing like he was last night at Shane Gillis, that's for sure. Old McAfee. Embarrassing we lose to Canada. I like the one guy on the show who's like, they have a strong team. No, they don't.
He's got a Canadian on his team, Pat McAfee. He's got somebody in the booth that's from Canada, and occasionally they haul him out.
Meanwhile, the CFL on TSN Thursday night football, it is just underway in Montreal. The Alouettes against the Toronto Argonauts. And moments ago on TSN, they welcomed Milt Stegall back to the panel.
No, I speak for every single person here at TSN and every person across our country currently watching when I say, welcome back, Milt Stegall.
And it's great to be back. And just real quick, I just want to thank everyone for all the support, the tributes, the letters, the DMs, everything everyone really showed for me and my family. It definitely helped us out at the service. Canada was well represented. Wade Miller, one of our bosses, Arden, one of my colleagues, former colleagues, Dave Randorf, and of course, you guys, the panel, you showed up. Also, Brenda Bournes. But that support, that love is really helping me and my family out. And like Chase would wanted me and everyone to do, now it's time to have some fun.
Yes, Milt Stegall is back on the panel after mourning the loss of his son, Chase, from a few months ago when he was found dead in his college dorm. And
21?
And Milt has just said that they're still awaiting autopsy results from his autopsy on his son. But as he said, it's time. It was time to come back and time to talk ball. And it's great to have Milt Stegall talking in the Canadian Football League again.
A lot of times when you're in mourning, a routine and a distraction will, keep your mind off of it, right? If you're sitting at home, which you need whatever time you need, like everybody's different. But for me, I couldn't wrap my head around sitting it all day, right?
And he's around a sport he's loved in a country he is his second home, and he'll be in Winnipeg tomorrow. And
yeah.
That's really his second home as the star of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So it's great to have Milt and see him back on the panel as the Alouettes and the Argos have started Thursday night football to kick off week 7. But it has been an eventful week in the Canadian Football League as Sean Lemon has been stealing the headlines. Move over, Luke Wilson. Sean Lemon stealing the headlines. This week, for all the, not wrong reasons, I guess, but a reinstatement yesterday from the league. He was suspended indefinitely.
Yes.
He appealed it. He lost the appeal to the arbitrator. He would continue to be suspended indefinitely for gambling on a game in which he played and other CFL games. That wasn't the only thing he did. He was gambling on CFL games and had a parlay in which he picked the Calgary Stampeders to win when he was a member of the Calgary Stampeders.
I think there was a Rough Riders game in there too, wasn't there?
That was the parlay. He actually picked the Riders to win that week and the Stampeders to win that week on the parlay.
Do we know if he won?
I haven't done the research to look.
Probably the wrong question right now. Did the ticket come through, Sean?
I'm really curious about that now.
And what did you win? Because I did hear it was 40 pounds. First off, if you're betting on an overseas, because I wouldn't even know where to begin to start that. Like, to even, I don't bet, but I wouldn't know where to even go.
Yeah.
So this was not a new thing, right?
From here, it was a Tiger Cats game. The Stamps were taking on the Tiger Cats, I do believe. And if it's that game, no, the Stampeders lost. The Riders won that week, though, but the Stampeders lost. Sorry.
Rip that ticket up.
But either way, Sean Lemon had an indefinite suspension. And, oh boy, have I heard about it. I went on a rant yesterday. We posted it on social. It got shared, and people were reaching out to me early this morning, last night. A lot of people who are fans of or know Sean Lemon, not happy with me around the CFL, saying, Sean's a good guy. And I kept on saying to everybody, this is not about whether or not Sean Lemon is a good guy. This is about my feeling on gambling on your own games.
He's dumb, right? Like, you can
make a dumb move. Like, I have done dumb things in my life. Do I think I'm a dumb person? No. Texters disagree. But, yeah, you can make a dumb choice at once in your life and not be a dumb person. That was a dumb choice by Sean Lemon.
Yes.
But is he a good guy? Yes. Does it have anything to do with it? No. He bet on a game in which he was playing.
Didn't you party with him one night?
Well, Grey Cups, you could see the players all the time. All over the place. There's private CFL parties here, there, and
good
everywhere.
Good guy to tip a beer with.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Doesn't make him, overly...
Like I said, right to everybody that knows Sean Lemon, to me saying he's a good guy, I'm like, this is not about whether he's a good guy or whether I like Sean Lemon. It could have been Weston Dressler, John Chick, Darian Durant, don't care. AJ Ouellette, any of them. I'd have the same opinion. You should not be able to bet on your own games. And then today's story. Just to top it all off, the Alouettes sign him an hour before kickoff. Why is that important? I've found this out. It was important because there is an hour deadline to be able to put a guy from the practice roster onto your active roster. You can do that up to an hour before kickoff. So they registered the contract before that window closed.
CFL clears it.
So they could say, oh, we could have activated him. So tonight is the first of a 2-game suspension because he also violated the drug policy in the Canadian Football League.
Again, we're back to maybe not the brightest guy.
Another dumb decision by Sean Lemon.
Yes.
How do you feel about this, CFL fans? Like, really? How are you looking at this? Are you, no big deal. Who cares? Carry on. He just bet on himself to win. I took some drugs. Okay, fine. Nye, chill out. Or are you as upset as I am? 1-877-332-8255.
We did get a text from Ruth. Ruth is in Regina. I agree, Sean Lemon. Getting to sign today and using tonight's game as one of the suspensions is completely bogus and stupid. With that and getting away with the gambling cheat is pathetic. Not impressed with the league and the commissioner on this one.
And remember, the commissioner has changed over the last few months. Randy Rosie out, Stuart Johnston in.
And I would agree that the one thing that I will say in defense of the commissioner is a lot of times these decisions are made and he may have had his hands tied right there.
Yeah, he's getting legal advice on all this. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's kind of like Jamie saying, I don't have a problem with Sean Lemon. I have a problem with this situation. And I would be willing to bet, Jamie, and not because of you, but because of how the optics of this present themselves to Stu, that he will sit down and do what he can to sort of close the loop on this. I have a feeling you're going to see some changes within
a hardened, more hardened policy clear policy.
Because I'd be willing to bet a large sum of money that, sorry on the betting pun, that this isn't sitting well with him right now.
Sean, you're on the fan line this afternoon. How do you view this Sean Lemon story the last 2 days?
You know something? I am not surprised that the CFL did it, no matter what commissioner it is, because look, they let Chad Kelly back in. That is the one guy, the one reason you do have a lifetime ban on. But yes, gambling on your team is, you know, wrong, and it shouldn't have happened, but I am not surprised that the CFL let Sean Lemon back, because they let back Chad Kelly, and he should have been banned, banished from the league forever. Just not him, but any player that does that, or any player that gambles, gone. See you later. We don't need you here.
Sean, thanks for the call. He talks about Chad Kelly in the workplace violations that the league investigated. And remember, they found 3 violations. They did a Saskatchewan investigator and went through it. And of the 6 accusations, 3 were proven right from the female employee. That was accusing Chad Kelly of continued harassment on wanting her to go out on dates and, hey, why don't you come to my hotel room? And then calling her out in front of everybody and using lewd names in front of other employees and losing his mind.
How long did Chad?
9 games.
Nine games
suspension. Didn't sit well with me either, Sean, on that one.
This is an interesting take. As a fan of the CFL and, of course, the Riders, I'd be more concerned about the empty seats across the league. That's from Wyatt. So, again, I wouldn't call it support.
Yeah.
But there is a softening of people's opinions revolving around gambling, right? And we've seen it with this conversation over the last couple of days, Jamie. And again, maybe you and I are, I don't know, it's our wiring or something.
For me, I understand it. Oh, it's just, who cares? He's just betting on himself.
We don't gamble either.
But you go through all these dominoes that fall. Once you allow that to happen, if you allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And go, Pandora's wait, box. Oh no.
But what about this?
The
but
point then he spread. Did this. The spread is 3.5 points and he took the over. And his coach wants them to take a knee so they can kick a game-winning field goal and only win by 3. I'm just going to run it into the end zone here real quick.
Well, and human nature, we're always looking for loopholes, right?
The ways you can manipulate a game.
And sports guys in particular, they're everybody in the sports world famous for looking for loopholes. Look at how, you know, players manipulate the rules revolving around injuries and
coaches do it too. And, well,
yeah, it's constant. People are paid big dollars to come up with loopholes and ways around things.
Coming up next, Champs and Chumps. Our chump today is a viral couple who didn't want to be a viral couple. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
All yellow.
Champs and Chumps today.
Coldplay.
No.
Okay. All right.
Oh, maybe.
Not
but
huge, not
the Chumps CEO and his head of HR were at a Coldplay concert. And let's just say they were grooving to the music. He was behind her, arms around her. They're swaying back and forth, and they threw him off on the kiss cam. And then he went under the table, she turned around, and it was like, you're either having an affair.
Or you're really, really shy.
Or you're really shy. They're having an affair. Both married. Well, we're married. I guess the one guy's wife has already changed her name on Facebook. Yeah, that's a bad look. There's going to have a new head of HR, I'd imagine.
It's a costly Coldplay concert.
That is very expensive. And champs, McDavid, Dreisaitl take to the ice in a beer league game in Newmarket, Ontario. So his teammate Leon Dreisaitl was also there.
Apparently the goalie stood on his head like both McDavid and Dreisaitl.
They lost 6-2.
They should be the chumps. You lose 6-2 in a beer league game in Newmarket?